The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
On the morning of November 16, 2015, Peggy McGuire, a 28-year-old beloved mother and daughter, finished a double shift at work, dropped off her son at school, and then returned to her home in Eufaula, Oklahoma. At around 10 a.m., she spoke with her boyfriend on the phone and said she was at home making beef jerky. After this call, no one heard from Peggy again. The next day, her truck was found abandoned at a bar, and Peggy was nowhere to be found. Despite extensive searches and investigations, Peggy remains missing, and her family is desperate for answers. It's been more than 8 years since Peggy disappeared, and investigators are still searching for her. Hey everyone, welcome back to Detective Perspective. My name is Derek Levasseur. I'm a licensed private investigator and former police detective. Each week I'll be covering an unsolved case in story format. I'll then give you my perspective on the investigation and provide contact information for the individuals or organizations connected to the case so that if you have any tips, you can contact them directly and maybe you can help solve a case. So if you're someone who's interested in true crime, specifically unsolved cases, and you would like to hear my opinion on those investigations, please consider subscribing whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever platform you use. Okay, Peggy McGuire, not going to spend too much time on this opening. I'm going to go through the facts of this case, and there's really only a couple of scenarios that could have played out here. This case is going to probably remind you a lot of Bianca Carrasco. If you listened or watched that case, you already know what I'm talking about. But I want you guys to keep an open mind as I am doing. We're going to go through the facts of the case and I'll weigh in throughout the episode and at the end. And then we'll talk about some potential scenarios and you guys can come to your own conclusions. Ultimately, we want to get as many eyes and ears on this case so that potentially someone who knows something comes forward and helps push this case forward. So without further ado, let's dive into this week's case. Peggy Ann McGuire was born on November 27th, 1986 to her mother, Betty. Growing up in the small town of Eufaula, Oklahoma, Peggy was known for her positive energy, outgoing personality, and love for everything outdoors. Sports, hunting, fishing, camping, boating, you name it, she did it. Peggy was also a country girl who could bale hay, show livestock, and run a whole ranch if she needed to. Peggy's mom, Betty, told McAllister News, quote, "When she would smile, you couldn't help but smile too. She was so thoughtful and caring, a kind-hearted person." Peggy's friend added, quote, "She was the sweetest, kindest soul that you would ever meet. She was ornery, she was full of spunk, and she would take up for you." During Peggy's sophomore year in high school, she started dating Thomas McIntosh. Loved ones described Thomas as the opposite of Peggy. He was awkward, rude, and antisocial. Crime Watch Daily reported that their relationship was tumultuous and abusive before they even left high school. Thomas was a very jealous person, which often led to violent outbursts such as breaking the windows on Peggy's car, smashing her doors, and even hitting her. Despite the escalating abuse, Peggy and Thomas stayed together. But then a few years later after graduating high school, Peggy filed a protective order against Thomas. The circumstances surrounding the order are unclear, however, we know that the order was granted. but then eventually the couple reconciled and the order was dismissed. Around the time the protective order was dismissed, Peggy and Thomas discovered they were expecting their first child. And in July of 2007, they welcomed their son, Ethan. Peggy immediately became a devoted and loving mother who spent every free moment with her son. According to the Facebook group Bring Peggy Home, in late 2013, Thomas got a job in Indiana. Peggy and Ethan went to live with him, but the abuse worsened, and on December 18th, Thomas strangled Peggy in front of her 6-year-old son, Ethan. Court records state that Thomas was arrested and charged with felony strangulation, felony domestic battery, and a misdemeanor for interference in the reporting of a crime. A no-contact order was issued, and Peggy and Ethan moved back to Oklahoma. But then, as it often happens, Peggy decided to let Thomas back into her life. She really wanted her son to grow up in a household with both a mom and a dad. The charges stemming from the attack in Indiana were also dropped, and Peggy, Thomas, and Ethan all moved into a home in Eufaula, Oklahoma. And it's important to note that their home was in an extremely rural area. It was outside of town and only surrounded by fields and woods. Now, according to Peggy's family and friends, after they moved into the house, Peggy and Thomas did not get back together. Their relationship was strictly platonic, and it was understood that they could both date other people. Eventually, Peggy realized she didn't want to rely on Thomas for anything, so she came up with a plan to move out of the house. As part of this plan, Peggy decided to become a licensed practical nurse, or LPN, so she could have a stable enough career to support herself and Ethan without Thomas. In June of 2015, Peggy passed her boards to become an LPN. She then started working at a nursing home, and by November of 2015, Peggy was getting closer to her goal of moving out, and she was also dating a new man. On the afternoon of November 15th, Peggy went to the nursing home and started working a double shift. On the morning of the 16th, Peggy finished up work, and before heading out, she mentioned to her best friend Elizabeth that she planned to meet her boyfriend after dropping Ethan off at school. Now, Peggy's boyfriend lived in Texas, and he planned to drive up to Oklahoma to see her that day. They were going to spend the night and part of the next day together, and then Peggy would pick up Ethan from school at 3 p.m., just like normal. And just for the record, I'm referring to Peggy's boyfriend as Peggy's boyfriend, because as far as we can tell, his name has not been publicized. Now, just as planned, Peggy left work that morning, picked up Ethan, and then drove him to school. And at around 7:45 a.m., Peggy dropped Ethan off at Canadian Elementary School. He never saw his mom again. Now, we have a lot more to cover. There's a lot more developments in this case. But before we get to it, let's take our first break.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Now, NBC reported that after dropping Ethan off, Peggy headed back to Eufaula, which is a 25 to 30 minute drive. During that drive, Peggy and her stepfather talked on the phone. Peggy said she was on her way home and she would call him back later, but she never did. At around 10 a.m., Peggy and her boyfriend spoke on the phone as well, and she mentioned that she was at home making beef jerky. Peggy's boyfriend then told her that unfortunately he wouldn't be able to make it to Oklahoma to see her that day. Shortly after sharing the bad news, he received another call and told Peggy that he would call her right back. However, when he did, her phone went directly to voicemail, and unfortunately, he would never hear from her again. For the rest of the day, Peggy's calls and texts went unanswered. McAllister News reported that on the following day, multiple people tried calling Peggy, but her phone was going straight to voicemail. At this point, everyone was panicking because Peggy wasn't known to go this long without replying. Peggy's best friend Elizabeth decided to go to Peggy's home to see if she was there, but to her surprise, Peggy and her truck were gone. In addition to that, her personal items were missing as well. It looked like she had packed up her things and left without warning. After discovering all of this, Elizabeth found Peggy's boyfriend's number and called him to see if Peggy was with him, but she wasn't. He said he hadn't talked to Peggy since 10 a.m. the day before when he had to tell her that he couldn't visit. At this point, Elizabeth decided to go to Ethan's school, hoping that Peggy would come to pick him up at 3 p.m. However, Peggy didn't show up. Instead, Thomas did. This was surprising to Elizabeth, as Peggy had mentioned she would be the one picking up Ethan that day. Elizabeth was extremely concerned at this point, so she contacted Betty and shared all the information she had uncovered. Betty later told NBC that Peggy would never leave her son behind. He was her entire world. Betty knew something was wrong, so she went to file a missing persons report. According to Peggy's family, they received little help from the police, so they decided to start their own search. In a matter of hours, Peggy's brother discovered Peggy's Toyota truck at T&J's Ice House, a rural bar situated along Highway 9, approximately 10 miles from her home. Finding Peggy's truck there was very odd, since she didn't drink and wasn't known to visit that bar. A surveillance camera at the Ice House showed her truck arriving at 5:28 a.m. on November 17th. The video showed the truck driving north, pulling into the Ice House, turning in the circular parking lot, and parking facing south. Due to some rain, the video footage was unclear. However, it did capture an unidentified person getting out of the truck and walking away, seemingly heading south. After finding Peggy's truck, her brother called the police and they arrived to search the vehicle. Now, while they were there, Thomas showed up at the Ice House. The police interviewed him at the scene, and he claimed that the last time he saw Peggy was on the morning of November 16th, when she picked up Ethan to drop him off at school. He said that after that, Peggy must have run away. Now, this seems to be what he told Ethan as well, because according to Crime Watch Daily, Ethan confided in a relative that before Peggy's truck was discovered, Thomas had taken him past the Ice House to show him the truck. Thomas then told Ethan that his mother had abandoned her truck and then ran away with another man. The police eventually finished searching Peggy's truck, but unfortunately they didn't find anything to shed light on her whereabouts or her current condition. Now, here's where the police, in my opinion, really screwed up, because after searching Peggy's truck, they did not search Peggy's house or property or conduct any other formal interviews. They seemed to be completely unbothered by Peggy's disappearance, and maybe they just assumed that she had run away and would call when she wanted to. And understandably, Peggy's family felt like the police weren't doing enough, and I completely agree. So they started a Facebook group, put up flyers, and led their own search, but there was no sign of Peggy anywhere. Then finally, 2 weeks after Peggy vanished, the local police requested the help of the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, also known as the OSBI, who immediately began a thorough investigation. One OSBI agent later told Crime Watch Daily that after she reviewed the surveillance footage of Peggy's truck being dropped off at the Ice House, she believed the driver to be a, quote, suspicious male with no discernible characteristics. Seeing the footage made the agent realize that foul play was likely involved in Peggy's disappearance. The agent's theory regarding foul play became more realistic when she heard that a woman who lived near the Ice House reported that she was leaving for work at the same time Peggy's truck was getting dropped off. At that time, the woman saw a man walking on the road, and when he noticed her, he hid in some nearby woods. The agent also told Crime Watch Daily that she learned that the Ice House is not far from where someone related to Thomas lives, which she found to be a, quote, significant detail. So what is this agent saying without saying it? What can we read between the lines? Well, I think it's pretty obvious. I think she believes that Thomas is the one in that video. She can't say that definitively. It's not enough to bring any type of formal charge against him, but it's one of those situations where it's not what you know, it's what you can prove. It sounds like she knows or believes Thomas is the one who dropped off that truck and Thomas is the one who dipped into the woods, but she can't say that with a level of certainty that could ultimately hurt the case or get the agency in trouble with some type of civil lawsuit. So essentially what she's doing here is she's laying out all the factual dots and allowing you to connect them. Whatever conclusion you come to on your own, that's up to you. Now, as the investigation continued, OSBI agents conducted multiple formal interviews, including one with Thomas. He repeated his previous story, stating that the last time he saw Peggy was when she took Ethan to school on the morning of November 16th. Agents also spoke to Peggy's boyfriend, and he explained that he hadn't spoken to Peggy since the morning of the 16th. Now, here's an interesting piece of information. You can take whatever you want out of it. But according to the agents, they interviewed a neighbor who reported seeing Thomas driving a tractor at a high rate of speed down the road just before noon on November 16th. The front end bucket on this tractor was raised high, which the neighbor found unusual since Thomas typically kept the bucket low. Peggy's family later shared with Crime Watch Daily that they believe Peggy's body was in the bucket of that tractor. According to Fox 23, as the investigation continued, agents obtained phone records, Facebook records, and financial statements of both Peggy and Thomas. Through these records, investigators learned that Peggy's phone pinged from her home when she spoke with her boyfriend on the phone at 10 a.m. on November 16th. Now, the interesting part here is at the same time, Thomas's phone pinged in close proximity to Peggy's. And after Peggy's phone call with her boyfriend, her phone was turned off and was never turned on again. And since that day, Peggy has not used her cell phone, credit cards, or social security number. All of this evidence led the OSBI to search Peggy's home and the 80 acres surrounding it in December, 3 weeks after Peggy went missing. And according to the Facebook page Bring Peggy Home, by that point, the house had been, quote, thoroughly cleaned. There were no signs of a break-in, and there was only one thing missing from the house, a gun. KJRH2 News reported that the OSBI took swabs of, quote, blood-like stains on the couch cushion on the back porch of the house and stains on the bucket of the front-loading tractor. Now, we still have more to go, so stick with us. We're going to take one last break, and we'll be right back.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Now, all of this evidence was sent off for testing, but unfortunately, the results were inconclusive. The lab couldn't determine if the stains were in fact blood, as they had corroded too much due to time, weather, and wear. The OSBI kept searching Peggy's property for months, but they were never able to find enough evidence to bring charges against anyone. The investigation continued, but there wasn't much movement in Peggy's case after her property and home were searched. In 2018, the OSBI told Crime Watch Daily that Peggy's case was being categorized as a, quote, suspicious missing person case. With that being said, they believe that she is deceased and that she was murdered. They also added that they don't believe her murder was a random act of violence. Now, law enforcement making this distinction publicly is significant because we talk about crimes of opportunity all the time. And when you think about the circumstances here, what they're essentially saying is not only do we think she was murdered, but the person who did this intended to do it, and more than likely, it was someone known to Peggy. So they're basically ruling out the idea that she had just ran off and in the process of running away, someone, maybe a random person had encountered her and murdered her during that incident. They're saying no. This happened almost immediately, and it happened at the hands of someone she was close with. So again, they're not saying who the person is or who they believe it is, but they're putting those dots out there and allowing you to connect them. Now, Peggy's family also spoke to Crime Watch Daily in 2018, and they expressed their firm belief that Thomas is responsible for Peggy's disappearance. They believe Thomas might have murdered Peggy because he thought that she planned on leaving him for another man, something Thomas definitely wouldn't have been okay with. The family said that while they are convinced Peggy is dead, they are determined to find her remains for a proper burial. Despite the theories of Peggy's family and law enforcement, OSBI stated that no suspects, including Thomas, have been formally identified in the connection with Peggy's disappearance and suspected murder. Everyone remains a person of interest until Peggy is found. Now, as far as law enforcement not coming out and directly saying that they believe Thomas is a suspect, it doesn't really affect me too much. Different agencies have different approaches. Some decide to go more conservative and keep everything they have close to the vest because the reality is, what does it matter if they identify him as a person of interest or a suspect? It doesn't make a difference in the case. And unless there's like some strategic approach to it where they want to put pressure on someone else by labeling him a suspect, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, if there was a potential co-conspirator in this case and they identified that person, and by labeling this person a suspect, maybe it incentivizes them to come forward due to this new pressure and have them divulge information, which may lead you to the real person that you're after. So as far as the labels of person of interest or suspect, I wouldn't look too much into it. They may not be saying it publicly, but it's my opinion that more than likely Thomas is at the top of their list, and what they're labeling him really doesn't matter. Now, I will say that Thomas's attorney also spoke with Crime Watch Daily, and he said there's no proof that Peggy was harmed or killed, and that Thomas has been fully cooperative with authorities. The attorney also claimed that Peggy and Thomas were in a romantic relationship when she went missing. He said that Peggy was frequently gone, which led Thomas to suspect she was cheating, but Thomas did not want to end the relationship because he wanted to stay together for their son. The attorney also stated there was no evidence of Thomas being an abusive partner. He described the allegations as, quote, small-town legends, without facts to back them up. He noted that Thomas had no criminal convictions related to Peggy, as she always withdrew any charges she filed. The attorney went on to try and explain away any evidence that pointed towards Thomas being involved in Peggy's disappearance. He suggested that Thomas's phone might have pinged in the same area as Peggy's on the morning she went missing because he was nearby at his grandmother's house. He also argued that the Ice House video footage was too poor in quality to definitively identify the driver of Peggy's truck. Lastly, the attorney mentioned that no one besides one family member could corroborate Ethan's story about Thomas driving him by the bar before the truck was found. Overall, the attorney's message was that there was no way Thomas could have been involved in Peggy's disappearance. Now listen, I have no problem with anything that the attorney said here. That's his job. It's to poke holes in any evidence that you have against your client. And the reality is, the evidence is not overwhelming. A lot of it is circumstantial and some of it is weak at best. So I have no problem with him coming out and defending his client in a public setting, especially when there are other individuals coming out and incriminating his client in a public setting. And whether you like it or not, everyone is innocent until proven guilty in the court of law, regardless of what you may think personally. Now, for years after Peggy's family and Thomas's attorney spoke to Crime Watch Daily, there was little movement in the case. But then in February of 2024, things started heating up when the Muskogee County Sheriff's Office received a tip that Peggy's body was wrapped in chicken wire and held down under the surface of a pond in the town of Oktaha, which is around 20 miles northeast of Eufaula. The police went to this pond, but after 3 hours of searching, they didn't find anything. The police told Fox 23, quote, "We're not going to give up. We want to try again to locate a victim for a family who really needs that closure." In April, the police brought in a water pump to lower the level so investigators could search the pond further. After the crew stopped pumping, they dug in an area they thought Peggy might be, but they still didn't find anything. Peggy's family told Fox 23 that they feel like there's a slim chance she's in the pond. However, they do know that someone somewhere knows something. Betty said, quote, "We know there are a few people who know where she is at, and I hope it eats up their heart. Hopefully one day there will be closure." Unfortunately, that's the last update we have in this case. Peggy is still missing, and her family remains desperate for answers.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
All right, so let's dive into this perspective, and it will not be a long one because there's not too many scenarios at play here, like I said at the top of the show. So first things first, before we get to the obvious, you could have a situation where if Peggy was upset with her boyfriend, maybe she decided to leave the house, and maybe she decided to turn off her phone because she didn't want the boyfriend to call back. She was trying to send a message where she was upset that last minute he canceled. So to kind of let him know that she was pissed off, he gets off the phone with her, and she's probably even more mad at this point because first he tells her, I can't come up. And then he says, oh, let me call you right back. She's probably thinking, wow, how insensitive he is to say this to me last minute and then to get off the phone with me to talk to someone else. You know what? I'm going to get him back. I'm going to turn off my phone and I'm going to go out for a little bit because now I have a whole day empty that I was planning on spending with him. And is it possible that when she leaves the house, she encounters someone during the way where this person has some type of malicious intent that she's not aware of? I guess that's possible. But if that were the case, you would think there would be some type of activity on her phone where she'd be calling someone or texting someone saying, hey, listen, my boyfriend's not coming up. I want to go out. Do you want to go do something? There's nothing. Her phone immediately goes off after talking to her boyfriend and it never goes back on. So if you're really trying to explore all scenarios, you could say that she shut her phone off and before she had a chance to turn it back on, she ran across this other person that we're all unaware of. But I stress when I say this, very unlikely considering the circumstances surrounding this, considering the fact that she was at home, considering the fact that she didn't have to turn her phone off. She could have just sent his calls to voicemail or not answered it altogether. The fact that you have no phone activity on her phone while she's still at her own home is highly suspicious. That's really the only other scenario I can think of where she decides to leave her house because she's upset with the circumstances that have unfolded involving her boyfriend. But let's talk about the elephant in the room, the one we're all considering. And it's not abnormal to look at the person who was last seen or last heard from our victim and also lived in the same home as our victim. So you have a situation here, just to kind of recap some of the facts, where Peggy's at home and it already, based on what the attorney is telling us, sounds like they were operating under different circumstances, or at least Thomas told his attorney a different set of circumstances than were actually the truth. What do I mean by that? Well, as I said at the top of the show, Peggy was telling friends and family that they were living in the same house, but they were no longer together, and it was understood that they could both see other people. I will say that does seem a little odd considering what we know about Thomas. I don't think he would agree to that. There is a world where on the surface, he could have agreed to it just to get her back, knowing that he would never actually allow that to happen. That is a scenario. Or it could be a situation, not to put anyone in a bad light, where maybe Peggy was kind of saying to him, we can work on things, but at the same time, seeing someone else behind his back. That is also possible. And I say that not to paint her in a negative light, but to bring up a possible motive. If this is a situation where Peggy is on the phone with her boyfriend, and somehow Thomas overhears this conversation, maybe he wasn't supposed to be at the house, but he was. Maybe he was upstairs or he snuck inside, hence why his phone pinged in the area. And he caught the tail end of this phone call with this other man, which caused an argument to ensue. During that argument, there could have been some type of physical altercation, or it could have escalated and involved the gun that was never located. Either way, something could have went down between the two of them, which rendered Peggy unconscious or already deceased. And at that point, Thomas had to do something to remove her from the household. So he waits overnight, waits till it gets dark, cleans up the area, does what he has to do. And then in, you know, early morning hours, he takes her truck and parks it down the road. And that could potentially be who we're seeing on camera, this male figure who's seen leaving the area and then seen by another neighbor walking down the road. And as she gets closer, he dives into the woods and maybe he goes to this relative's house that the agent had mentioned earlier in this episode. And we also can't leave out two other important statements. First off, there's a report that he was driving down the road in his tractor at a high rate of speed with the bucket elevated on the 16th, mid-afternoon. This would be after the time when Peggy's phone was turned off. So it would line up. You could have a situation where, like we said, something goes down. He removes her body from the home in this tractor with it high up in the air so nobody could see into it. And then you have this rural area where there's hundreds and hundreds of acres where you could dispose of a body. Now, again, that's only one person saying it, and it's speculative at best because the fact that the bucket was up and it's usually down, it's more of an assumption. It could just be that on that particular day it was up. What's interesting to me is the timing of it. The fact that it's only an hour or two after Peggy's phone goes off the radar and after she has this call with this boyfriend in an area where Thomas's phone is pinging as well. So all that in totality is more suspicious than the bucket actually being raised, although when you add that into the equation, it certainly doesn't make Thomas look good. And then we have the report regarding Ethan, where allegedly he told a relative that Thomas had taken him by the bar and pointed out Peggy's vehicle before Peggy's brother had ever found it. If this is true, this is a pretty critical piece of information. Unfortunately, because of Ethan's age and because it was only one relative, it's tough. It's going to be tough to get that to stick in a court, especially with the circumstances surrounding it, and especially considering the fact that Peggy's family has already come out publicly and said they believe that Thomas is responsible for Peggy's disappearance. This reminds me a lot of the Heyman Lee case where we pointed out that ping locations show Adnan going by where Heyman Lee's vehicle was eventually found before law enforcement ever found it. And this is a similar situation where if it's true, I think it's a critical piece of information and it does not make Thomas look good the same way I said it didn't make Adnan look good. So overall, means, motive, opportunity, you have it with Thomas. But on the other side of that coin, you have an attorney who's already come out and disputed almost every point that I've just made. And if this case were to go to trial as is right now, I do not see Thomas being convicted. This is all just stuff we have that we can talk about. But the reality of the situation is unless he confesses or a third party comes forward who has guilt knowledge or specific information that ultimately leads to Peggy's location, whether she's alive or dead. Again, it's assumed by many that she's deceased. There's not much that's going to happen here. You could have a world where if there's a relative or a friend who assisted in this whole situation, if you're able to identify them and put pressure on them, the ball could get rolling again. But we're going to need someone to come forward. As it stands right now, we do not have enough, but we could if someone comes forward. So we're going to recap the case, and hopefully there's a person out there right now listening or watching who has that information who could propel this case forward. So Peggy McGuire was last heard from at around 10 a.m. on November 16th, 2015. At that time, she was at her home in Eufaula, Oklahoma. Her truck was later found at T&J's Ice House, located along Highway 9, around 10 miles away from her house. Peggy is white and Native American. She stands 5 feet 10 inches tall and weighs between 150 and 160 pounds. She has shoulder-length curly blonde hair and blue eyes. If you have any information in this case, please contact the OSBI at 580-298-5525. There is a $150,000 reward available. To stay up to date with Peggy's case, you can join the Facebook group Bring Peggy Home. As always, my final words go out to Peggy's family. I'm sure they would love your support on their Facebook page. So if you want to go over and join, I would greatly appreciate it. Make sure you tell them that we sent you. But at minimum, we're sharing the story here. And my ultimate goal is always to have someone come forward with the critical piece of information that can solve this case and bring them the closure they deserve. Betty and the rest of the family deserve to know what happened to Peggy. And Peggy needs to be reunited with her family. Whether she's dead or alive, we need to know. And if she is deceased, as her family said, she needs a proper burial. But either way, we're going to stay up to date on this case. And if anything happens, I'll be sure to let you know. Until then, that's going to do it for me, guys. Stay safe out there, and I'll see you next week.
The The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.